Okay, that takes us to the half-pregnant empire. The empire has stalled. We see an effort by the United States military and the political State Department apparatus as the investment moved out in the mid-90s. We saw the military move out. We saw the build-out of a global empire. And it depended not just on the control of the traditional Navy sea lanes, but the build-out of the satellite and the control of space. Because as I've said many times before, and it was the quote for the 2010 wrap-up, nobody invests money where they can't enforce. And so if we're going to rebalance global investment and rebalance the economy, then we needed a global military that could enforce that capacity. Now, as that has happened, one of the things you feel in the United States this year, and in Europe too, is a profound sadness that comes from being led by people who we don't admire, because this is an empire based on force and financial manipulation and financial warfare. It depends on the absence of transparency, and it has evolved a leadership that I think many of us are just simply not comfortable with. But it continues to build out, and it continues to use force. We saw what I have concluded in 2011, a very forceful effort to maintain hegemony in Asia by the United States. I think Fukushima was a nuclear war. If you look at sort of what happened and who won as we see events unfold by 2012, who was the winner? Well, first of all, it was the domestic U.S. auto industry. It was the oil card. We see a shutdown of nuclear plants in Europe and real pressure against nuclear that is helping to maintain fossil fuel and the price of oil. And finally, we see any efforts by Japan, and particularly aligned with some of the other players, including China, to not emerge as an Asian, sort of a threat to the United States as hegemony in Asia. There are allegations that there was a nuclear weapons lab at Fukushima. I don't know if that was the case, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. I could see this bringing on. But I think more and more as we watch what happened, I think it is likely that Fukushima was not a natural event. It was not an accident. Do we know the facts? No. But it has very profound implications for the probability of a nuclear war or nuclear events going forward, and I'm going to talk about that when we get to predictions. We see China launching their first aircraft carrier and new satellite capacity to not be dependent on the U.S. The asset control of the Middle East continues to be important to maintaining the oil price. So the effort to stop anybody being outside the empire model continued with the invasion and sort of conquering of Libya and the killing of Gaddafi. It turned out that the boots on the ground to get Iraq and Afghanistan into the fold have been painfully expensive. And if anything threatens the empire, it's the drain of resources to do that. Iran continues to be outside the model, and we see warmongering towards them. They're selling oil to China and Japan in yen. It wouldn't surprise me if that was part of the reason that led up to Fukushima. One of the most important developments in 2011 was the privatization of space. We see NASA announcing that they're not going to continue with a government-funded space program, but in the future, space will be developed by private corporations, of course, with government funding. That means taxpayers pay, but private corporations get the technology and the equity, which is a very, very devastating development for the current way that we govern planet Earth. Give space control to the private corporations, and private corporations will rule. And again, we're watching satellites and space weaponry evolve as just as important to maintenance of sort of the empire as sea lanes. What we saw domestically was a very insecure empire. Fast and Furious was a Department of Justice operation to supposedly targeting the Mexican cartels, but If anything, it was a pretty frightening example of the Department of Justice spreading illegal weapons both in the United States and Mexico. What it means is that it's very, very difficult if you're the empire to run narcotics trafficking or help run them globally, but including in North America. And the double binds in doing that are getting harder and harder. We saw the Attorney General grilled by Congress, and it was kind of an ugly mess. Lots of internet talk about FEMA camps. Yes, they're real. However, if you look at the capacity of the United States to round up lots of citizens and put them in FEMA camps, it's not there. But that demonstrates real insecurity about the government in terms of what could happen from disasters, what could happen from continued unemployment. Finally, we saw the defense authorization, which happens every year this year, come with expanded rights, which I'm sure are not constitutional if we ever get them battled out in the court, to arrest Americans. Now, if you look at what's been happening in America as a practical matter, what has been happening with physical harassment, with torture, with killing, including by the government, this kind of stuff has been going on for many, many decades, but it's never been inculcated in legislation. And I suspect the effort to do it is not because it's not just because it hasn't gone on. It's because trying to do it when there's lots of factionalism and anger and fighting, you know, at the top and the middle makes it much more dangerous for the guys doing it to have it go on. But it's certainly not a good development. Of course, we see continued efforts in capital control to keep capital from flowing out to global investment and keeping it trapped into the U.S. system. Part of that is because the government continues to need more and more capital to finance its operation. And finally, of course, very invasive technology by the government, whether it's smart meters, entrainment technology, and again, beware the way that social media can be used. We've seen a response by the population, literally an explosion in gun purchases, including at Christmas. It appears that a gun seemed to be the Christmas present of the year. The best quote, I think, the best description of the empire this year was biologist Elizabeth Satoris' description in Thrive. She described the empire as a desperate sort of empire protecting an old model and likened it to caterpillars who sort of eat up their environment and reminded us that if you want butterflies, you don't go around killing caterpillars. But I do think it's a reminder that we have an empire that's gone halfway. It hasn't gone the whole way. And what it's doing is something, when you're that centralized, you can get yourself in a very insecure position. And one of the ways it's bought political support from the North America population, from the American population, is to promise more and more benefits and more and more benefits. And that's just not working. So whether it's the cost of the war in Iraq and Iran or the cost of keeping everybody in food stamps or Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, the financial problem is a serious one. Centralization is not economic, and we've been behaving in non-economic ways for a long, long time, and something has to change. And that's just not a matter of the empire having to change. We all have to change.